Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going to be doing a deep dive today, specifically for all you law students out there.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting. So we're looking at Villa v. Putnam, a Florida Supreme Court case.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about like the clash between, you know, when you have contracts and estate planning and then, you know, those statutory rights that a surviving spouse has.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. You have this kind of principle of freedom of contract, right? People should be able to make agreements.
Right.
And then, you know, you have these public policy considerations, like we want to make sure surviving spouses are protected.
Totally, totally. And that's kind of what this case is all about. And it's a scenario you guys might actually run into.
Oh, absolutely.
Like as you're practicing, you'll see these things play out.
Yeah.
So let's get into the specifics.
Okay.
So we've got Edgar and Joanne Putnam. Back in 1985, they were married.
Okay.
And they created these mutual wills.
Mm.
But these aren't just like, oh, we both wrote a will. It's like they had a binding agreement within them.
Yeah. So neither one of them could change the estate plan without the other one's consent.
Exactly.
And they both agreed that when the surviving spouse died, everything would go to their kids.
Right. So they were really locking in those intentions, both of them together.
Right. That's the key. It's that contractual part of it. It's a commitment to a shared plan.
Okay. So they make this agreement, and then years later, Joanne passes away.
Okay.
So now it's just Edgar, right?
Right.
And Edgar, he marries Rachel, but he never updates that 1985 will.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's where things get a little complicated.
Right.
Because now, years later, Edgar dies too.
Uh-huh.
And so we have Rachel, who is now his surviving spouse, and she wants to claim her part of the estate, you know, what the law says she should get.
Yeah. She's looking to the law, the statutes that protect surviving spouses. Makes sense.
Right, exactly. But then you have the children from that first marriage with Joanne saying, wait, my parents, they had this agreement, this contract, and Edgar didn't stick to it.
Yeah, they're coming at it from a totally different angle, a contract perspective.
Yeah. So it's this tug of war.
Yeah.
Rachel's got the statutes on her side.
Yeah.
The kids have this contract. And the question is, who wins?
Yeah, exactly. Whose claim is stronger in the eyes of the law? It's a fascinating question.
Right. So before we get into like what the Supreme Court decided, I think it would be helpful to like really define some of these legal terms that are going to come up.
Absolutely. That'll help make sense of everything.
Okay. So first, mutual wills. We kind of touched on this, but like mm-hmm. for our listeners, especially those law students, how would you really define mutual wills?
So mutual wills are more than just mirror images, you know, two wills that look the same.
Okay.
It's really a contract between two people, usually spouses, where they agree how their property is going to be divided. And the most important thing is it becomes binding, especially when one of them dies, the other one has to follow through.
Right. So they're locking that in. And you said usually it's spouses. So I guess it could be other people too.
Yeah, it could be. But it's most common with spouses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, planning for their future together and how things will be handled.
Okay.
But the key takeaway is this agreement has to be really clear. It's got to be obvious from the wills themselves that they meant it to be legally binding.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's mutual wills. Another important term we're going to see a lot is pretermitted spouse statute.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. But it's actually pretty straightforward. It's all about protecting a spouse who marries someone after that person already made a will.
Okay.
So imagine someone writes a will and then they get married. If that new spouse isn't mentioned in the will, like if there's nothing set aside for them, or if they didn't sign a prenup, or it's not clear from the will that they were intentionally left out, then this law comes in. It says that spouse still gets a share of the estate.
Right, like it's this safeguard against accidentally leaving someone out.
Exactly. It's making sure no one gets unintentionally disinherited just because they got married later.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm.
And so I guess Rachel marrying Edgar after that 85 will, she could try to use this, right?
Oh, absolutely. That would be a very likely argument for her.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned prenuptial agreements, and I know we have to throw in elective share too.
Oh, right. Good point. So that's another legal option a surviving spouse has. Basically, they can choose to take 30% of the estate no matter what the will says. It's a statutory right.
Oh, okay. So even if that pretermitted spouse thing didn't work out for Rachel, she could still go for this elective share.
Exactly. She's got options here. It's important to remember that.
Right. Okay, so we've got all this statutory stuff going on, protecting spouses. But remember, the children, they're arguing from a contract law perspective.
Right. They're focusing on those mutual wills.
Yeah. And they're saying they're third-party beneficiaries of that contract between their parents.
Yeah. So basically they're saying, look, we weren't the ones signing that agreement, but it was intended to benefit us.
Right. They were the intended beneficiary.
Exactly. And because of that, they have certain rights under the law.
Okay. I think we've got all our definitions straight now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, like, how this case played out in the courts.
Okay. So it started at the trial court level.
Okay.
And the trial court judge, they actually sided with the kids.
Really?
Yeah. They basically said, okay, you guys are creditors. Because Edgar basically breached the contract of this remarriage, the children's claim is like a debt that his estate has to pay.
So initially, it seemed like the kids had a strong case.
It did. But then it went up to the Second District Court of Appeal, and they said, nope, reverse it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They basically said the surviving spouse's rights, so Rachel's rights, are more important here than the contract claims.
So now we've got different courts saying different things.
Exactly. It was like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
That's why this went all the way up to the Florida Supreme Court.
Okay, so that's a huge deal. This wasn't just some random case.
No, not at all. They needed to settle this conflict, create a clear rule for everyone in Florida.
Right, like a precedent for all the courts to follow.
Precisely.
Okay, so we've got our background, our definitions. Let's get to the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
The legal issues. What was the big conflict the Supreme Court had to decide?
It's that fundamental tension we talked about earlier. On one hand, you've got contracts, people making agreements, and the law usually wants to enforce those.
Right.
But then you've got these statutory rights. And in this case, it's about protecting a surviving spouse. And the court had to figure out, okay, which one wins out?
Like, where do you draw the line?
Exactly. Where's the balance?
And spoiler alert, they sided with the spouse.
They did. Rachel's statutory rights won the day.
Okay, so why? What was the reasoning? What's the juicy stuff here?
Okay, so the Florida Supreme Court was very clear. They said, look, we've got this long-standing public policy of protecting spouses. It's not new. It's been around forever.
Like ingrained in Florida law.
Exactly. They even quoted from older cases saying, Florida has maintained a strong public policy in favor of protecting a surviving spouse longer than we've been a state.
Wow.
Yeah. So that really shows you how important this is to them. They're not messing around.
Okay. So it's not just a general policy. How do they apply it to this specific case?
So they looked closely at that pretermitted spouse statute. Remember those specific exceptions we talked about?
Yeah, like the prenup or if the will mentions the spouse.
Exactly. And the court said, those are the only exceptions. We're not going to create a new one just because there was a mutual will before.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They even said, and this is a key quote, to hold, as the children suggest, would essentially amend the statutory exceptions, which the court has no authority to do. They're basically saying, that's the legislature's job, not ours.
Okay, that makes sense. They're sticking to the law as it's written.
Right. It's a classic example of statutory interpretation.
Okay, so they stuck to the statute. Anything else interesting in their reasoning?
Yeah, they also talked about marriage itself as a kind of contract.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right, and they said things like elective share, pretermitted spouse share. Those are like implied terms in this marriage contract.
Okay.
So those rights tied to the current marriage can actually overrule earlier contracts, even something like a mutual will.
Wow, so the current marriage takes priority.
Exactly, that's a pretty big statement.
So for all our law student listeners out there,
What's
the big takeaway from Via V. Putnam? Like, why should they care?
Well, it establishes a very clear rule in Florida. When you have a conflict between spousal rights and claims from a previous marriage based on a mutual will, the spouse's rights win.
It's like a hierarchy. Statutory rights trump the contract.
Exactly. And this applies everywhere in Florida. It's the law of the land, thanks to this case.
Okay, so that's the legal side. What about the practical implications?
This is a huge wake-up call for anyone thinking about estate planning.
Like, what should people do differently after this case?
You have to review your estate plan, especially your will, anytime something big happens in your life. And remarriage is a huge one.
Like Edgar and Joanne, they thought they had it all figured out with those mutual wills.
Right, but life throws curveballs. And if you don't update your plan, you can end up with a legal mess, lots of unintended consequences.
Yeah, this case shows how those mutual wills, even though they seem secure, can become a real problem if you don't account for changes.
Exactly. It's a lesson in contingency planning. Always be prepared for the unexpected.
So not just for lawyers, this is for everyone listening. Keep your estate plan updated.
Absolutely. It can save a lot of heartache and legal battles down the road.
Okay, last but not least, any final thoughts, teaching moments from this case for our law students?
So many. We saw how courts interpret statutes, how they stick to the words, don't just make up new exceptions. We also saw that balance between public policy and freedom of contract.
Right, like those big picture legal principles at play.
Exactly. And then, of course, the practical estate planning lessons. It all comes together in this case.
So just to recap, the key holding of Villa V. Putna Full is, in Florida, a surviving spouse's rights to the estate are generally going to be stronger than any claims from kids of a previous marriage based on mutual wills.
That's the bottom line.
And we'll leave you with this. Think about other situations where contracts might clash with public policy, especially in estate or family law.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right, like how do those things balance out? It's something to think about. All right, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.